And hello, everyone. Happy Friday. Welcome to Get a Grip with Coach Elex. I'm your host, Coach Elex, and with me, my amazing co-host.
And husband, Stephen Frederick Masick.
That's right. He's more than a co-host. He's an attorney. He's a medium. He talks to the people. And most importantly, he's my husband, and he's pretty good looking. He's not only smart, he's pretty good looking, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, you may.
So, you know, Stephen, I literally just made it in time for today's show. I took the red eye last night from Phoenix. I was with amazing clients in Phoenix the past couple of days since when I left Tuesday. And they hosted me beautifully, and it was a wonderful experience. And then, of course, I need to get back because I'm meeting my team this morning in one of my other clients in New Bedford. And my flight, if everything worked out perfectly, my flight was supposed to leave at, 9:45, I think, something like that. And arrive here like 5 something in the morning. And of course, nothing worked out perfectly. My flight, you know, left after midnight, and it was the red eye. So I got home just in time to get in the car, drive to New Bedford, meet with my clients, and get home just in time to see my beautiful family and get to all of you. So, in that special, Stephen, are you happy I'm back?
Well, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What? I'm kidding. Of course, I'm so excited. Yes. I do. Me and the two boys do not care for when you're not here. So
I know.
Yes, we're very excited.
And one of the major reasons he doesn't care that I'm not here is because there's nobody to cook for him. And
really?
I want you to know that Mr. Producer already had a smart remark about your cooking. So I said, you know what? I'm not answering. I'm going to have you be the one that asked Stephen directly. So, Mr. Producer, you had a question for Stephen?
Well, he didn't. I saw it, and it hurt, Mark. That's all I can tell you. It was like a dagger through my heart. It really was.
Did you really expect us to believe that you made all that beautiful food?
I did.
I did.
He did, Mark. He actually did. This is what's amazing. He did. Of course, I taught him.
See
how
that
to get
mock
it done. And he pulled it through. I was impressed. I saw the pictures. I'm like, damn. He listened really well. And
one thing gave you away.
What?
There's a pan, aluminum pan, covered in aluminum foil, that's marked 12P.
Yeah, but
Stephen, he's dissing you.
Of course, I didn't make. You know how difficult it is. Like people
went to a Polish lady that
exactly.
made them.
I never said I made the pierogies, but they're frozen, and I had to this 2 steps of boiling them and then frying them up. For
oh,
me,
okay.
That's huge.
Huge. I'll give you credit for that.
Listen, if I was pretending I actually made them, do you think I'm that dumb to actually put a picture of a container that says 12 pierogies? Come on. Yeah. But listen, I did really good, and they were excellent. They were really good.
They were excellent.
They were. They were really good.
I thought they looked amazing. So
and the capusta was just as good.
Yeah, I was impressed. Listen, Mark, this is someone that literally didn't know how to boil anything. The fact that he was able to not only boil the pierogies and then pan fry them and he didn't burn them, they look beautiful.
They did.
Listen, he's done quite well. I'm very, very proud.
I'm a chef.
I yield to you. I give you credit. That's more than I could do. And I
know. But listen, I also wanted to I want to do a important shout out, because when I was, you know, one of the reasons my flight was delayed was because there were some issues with another flight that was in the same gate and blah 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 blah, and of course I know we're coming home. I was committed that we were coming home, so nothing was going to take me from that mind frame, because I needed to be home. In the midst of that, this young lady, super cute, comes to me. She's like, are you going to Boston? I'm like, yes. And she's like, can I steam for a moment? I need to tell you, I'm mad. And she tells me her story. You know, she's waiting and she doesn't know whether we're gonna go. And it was a little chaotic in that terminal. But yeah, you know, I listened to her, and she actually reminded me, Steven, do you know who she reminded me of? Christina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very animated, super cute, you know, very friendly. And so, of course, you know, at that point, they announced that they moved the plane to another gate. So the two of us, actually, it seemed like cattle. The whole, you know, all the people at the JetBlue all traveling to the new terminal. So when we were walking, I was curious, you know, because now we had an opportunity to chat. So I curious to ask her, like, does she live in the area? Is she there traveling like me for business? So she shared that she was there because she wanted to meet her father, who is embarked in this journey. He's biking, Stephen, from Plymouth all the way to California.
Wow.
It's coast to coast.
Wow.
His name, by the way, her name is Krista. So shout out to Krista Forand. And her father, I don't know him, but I'm super proud of this guy. By the way, I said, Krista, I'm going to give you a shout out. And she's like, do one for my father. Listen to, you know, she's so proud of him. So Jim Forand, super shout out. This guy is going from coast to coast, and he's raising money for veterans, for the Nathan Hale Veteran Foundation. And honestly, how could you not love that? I mean, this is just what an incredible thing to do, you know, for somebody to do something that is that, I mean, I don't know. Do you think you could bike, Stephen, from coast to coast?
I never really thought about it, but I was just thinking as you're talking about him that it's so easy to not do that. It's so easy to not do something like that, but to be able to put this together and have the exposure and hopefully, I'm sure, raise a good amount of money for what did you say it was for? It was for the veterans,
for,
right?
For veterans. And here's something I, you know, she sent me that I really love, because she talked about he's doing this not just as for a fulfilling personal aspiration, which is amazing, but it's also a call to action for anyone who wishes to make a difference in the lives of veterans. And all the proceeds go to this foundation. And you know, they are going to, this is a nonprofit foundation, and they're, of course, dedicated to the health and welfare of veterans, active duty troops, and their families. Honestly, you know, hats off to you, Jim. Good luck in this journey. You have a wonderful daughter. You should be super proud of her. And if anyone who is listening and wants to support Jim in this amazing journey, there's a GoFundMe page where he's raising money right now. He's at about $13,425. He's looking to raise $20,000. Again, all this money is going to the veterans, and it's all a nonprofit foundation. So go to look it up. It's Jim Moran's. Jim Foran's, right, GoFundMe, and if you want to support him, make a donation. Now, moving along, I have to give time to my amazing husband, because he's working on an incredible project that I'm super proud of and that I know you guys all want to know about. Steven, tell them what you're up to.
Well, I am, as probably people know, I wrote a book, and I, as of today, it is completed in the editing phase. So yay, this woman that I found, you know, because I this is my first book, so there's not like a lot of people I know, even though I did, thankfully I have a lot of contacts and a lot of help, but I just found this woman called Samantha Clock, and she is in, I believe, Seattle. And when this is done, I'm going to give her a big shout out. And I think her company's called Emerald City Editing. And so if you're ever looking to have a book or anything edited or under any kind of, you know, the publishing, if you will, even if it's not a book, it's something else, a smaller manuscript, whatever, she's amazing. She the stuff that she caught with this book and just not just the obviously the grammar or the grammatical errors, but just making sure things were clear and the sentence structure, she was amazing. So today is the final editing, so it's done, and now we go to the next phase of getting the cover, and then on goal for publishing in October.
And what's the name of your book?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, I think people would want to know, because the name alone, it's going to intrigue you to buy the book.
Yes, the name of the book is The Suicide Gift.
So think about that. That's so thought-provoking. And I think you want to know what that's about.
Yes, I think so. And I know people, regardless of age or sex or wherever you fall, I know that you will love this book. You just will. At the end of every chapter, I have what's called insight, and it gives you little tips about how connecting to spirit. So,
yeah. And it is a serious subject, and it is something that, you know, of course, you will walk away with a golden nugget. That's the point of the book. But it's also, and it's also funny as funny can get. If you know Steven, his stories are just outrageous, hilarious. And you, when you read them, you're like, now, this is, he could not have possibly done this. And the answer is, yes, he did. All of them. This is not fiction, it's reality. So
that is true.
You know, so get excited, and I'm sure we will be telling people as the date approaches, you know, what we're going to do, you release the book and how they can get it.
Right? Sure. Yes, absolutely. I'm very absolutely excited.
And today we have an amazing guest, my friend Donna Carlin, who has been with us several times. And she's been with us several times because she is somebody I love and adore. And Donna Carlin is going to talk about no ceiling, an all approach to life at work and at home. So what does that mean? So if you're somebody that, you know, you're putting a lid on what's possible for you, and I think this applies to all of us, you want to listen to Donna. Donna has been termed as a pot stirrer, a thought shifter, a partner in crime, and a reality checker. She gives it to you, you know, it's very straightforward. She's an international speaker, a lecturer, author, and a world-renowned leadership coach. And most importantly, Donna is my friend and the founder of the No Ceiling, Just Sky Institute. So this woman is a force to be reckoned with. So you want to absolutely hang in there, because this conversation is for you and you will get a whole lot of value. So we're going to take a small commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by the amazing Donna Carlin. And today we're going to talk about no ceiling, an all approach to life at work and at home. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host and husband.
Stephen Frederick is here.
Stephen Frederick, attorney in Medium, is here. And today, I'm super excited because I have, again, one of my favorite people, Donna Carlin, who is just an inspirational person all around, a world-renowned leader with 40-plus years of experience in multiple streams of practice. And she's better known as the Shadow Coach. But most importantly, she's just a friend, an awesome human, and somebody that today you are going to learn a whole lot from. Donna, welcome back.
Oh, it's so good to be here. How are you doing?
Donna, we're doing well. I hope you realize, listen, I was just in the West Coast in Arizona, a 3-hour difference, and I took the red eye, and I was so intentional in making sure we made it because I'm like, I have Donna, and I am not going to let her down. So I literally landed, drove home, and here I am. So we're delighted to have you. Delighted that you are here with us. We're doing amazing. How are you, Donna?
Great. It's been a fascinating year in so many ways. And as always, I'm delighted to be on your show. I love our conversations.
And I do too. And for those of you who, you know, are listening to Donna for the first time, Donna is a force to be reckoned with. She's a strong woman, a cancer survivor. She is a remarkable mom who takes incredible care of her son. She's a tornado survivor as well. So Donna, why don't you share with our listeners about your personal life, especially where you have come from and what you have gone through and survived and eventually thrived powerfully.
That's a lot to unpack. You know that.
I do. But we have about an hour, Donna, so this is all your time. So there you go.
Well, just one thing. I don't take care of my son anymore. He's about to turn 43 years old, and he's thriving on his own, which is something that every parent is thrilled with. I became a coaching psychologist because of him and his surgeon. And that was almost 41 years ago. It'll be 41 years in October. And I'm grateful for that every day. You know that in your life, often, very often, people sort of design what they want their life to look like. They want to, you know, go to college or university. They want to get a specific degree to get a certain kind of job. And my dream had always been to be in a world-class orchestra. And I achieved that. I was over the moon. I was working in a great orchestra under fabulous conductors. And then when Michael was born, and because he needed some surgical interventions and a lot of care, I had to give up that job. But because of his surgeon, I went into the field that I've been in for almost 41 years. And every day is a gift. I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am that my life took this turn. It's a gift.
Donna, I hear you loud and clear. I also know you are a cancer survivor twice. Did you say that every day is a gift as you were dealing with your diagnosis of cancer?
It's really interesting. No, I really didn't. Instead, what I did was I looked at my life and I said, who am I outside of the fact that I'm a cancer patient? It becomes so all-encompassing when you're going through treatments and it's usually expression, it's a crapshoot, right? You don't know what the outcome will be. You don't know if it'll recur. And in my case, it did 3 years later. And again, this past Christmas, I had another scare with a lump in the same place as the original cancer was in. So they had to do a surgical, well, actually three surgical interventions last Christmas and in January. And it's nerve-wracking. There's no question. So instead of saying every day is a gift, what I did was I said, if I'm having a good day, what am I going to do today that will honor the time that I have right now? And that's what I was doing on a regular basis. I was still working. I was still having calls with clients. I've been writing like a lunatic this year. Like, I've never written this much in my entire life because I decided I wanted to share all that I've learned over the years with the general public, with the business community, anybody who wants to read what I have to say. So I think that it was more in alignment with what am I going to be doing now? And if we're going to go on a trip or we're going to do something in our, you know, personal lives and with family, what am I going to do to honor that? So I made a decision not to miss any special occasions. My mother turned 95. I went into Montreal. I took her out for a wonderful lunch. We had a great time, reminisced about all kinds of things. I'm doing more of that because I want to honor everybody around me.
And in doing so, you're honoring you, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Is that where, you know, because you are the founder of the No Ceiling, Just Sky Institute, and today we, you know, our subject is no ceiling, right? Approaching
right.
life, you know, an all approach to life at work and at home. So how do you define no ceiling for those who are listening to you for the first time? What does that mean to you, and what could it possibly mean to them as it relates to their work, to their life, either work or home?
It's really funny because I was just talking to my editor about that. But, you know, so many people, they don't move or they become paralyzed by success. It's one thing when some people get paralyzed when they fail numerous times and then they just stop trying. It's another thing when somebody succeeds and they go, I don't want to rock the boat. I never thought I'd get this far. And, you know, your question speaks to that. It's, you know, it's really looking at life from multiple perspectives. Is there some, like, a specific perspective that you are looking for an answer from me? I want to target that.
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I'm listening, Stephen. You may want to add, you know, your perspective. I'm listening from the perspective of our listeners, right? They're mm-hmm. your everyday person. You know, some are executives, some are homemakers, you know, at home, you know, some are young people, students, you know, and they're listening to the show because the show is a way that inspires them to think differently, to step into perhaps the things that make them uncomfortable, to make them, you know, to inspire them, that the show inspires them to think that what they want maybe is possible, you know, where for a long time they may have put a lid on, you know, what's not
okay.
possible because of those limiting thoughts that we all have. That's the where I'm coming from. Stephen, you have a different perspective?
No, it's hello, Donna. It's so good to have you back.
Hi, Stephen.
It really is. I think it's very similar. I think, you know, Donna, you come, as soon as you hear your voice, it's so powerful. Your energy is so powerful. And just, I think for me, just hearing cancer twice and a survivor, that just hits everybody so much, and whether it's them personally or somebody in their family or a friend, and you know, it even for me, and I mean, you've been on the show before, so I have the privilege of being able to listen to you and talk to you, but even just hearing you say that, it's like, my God, how is she moving forward like so positively? Like how did she get that perspective of, you know, when she was going through it, just what she could do to honor herself today. I that's my perspective.
So
you know,
think you got
like
plenty, Donna. Take it from there.
I approach life from curiosity. And as long as you're curious, You can't be depressed. You can't be angry. You can't be judgmental, because you're living in questions. You're living through curiosity. And everything I do is usually through curiosity. If I don't know something, I seek to understand. I don't stop. But that's me. I would say for everybody, you know, I tell people, don't compare yourself to others and say, who are you to be able to achieve X, Y, and Z? That's not the thing. Who were you yesterday, and are you a little bit better today because of what you've done, what you've contributed, what you've learned? That's it. How did I get through the 2 bouts of cancer and or 2.5? We're still not sure what happened this year. It's saying I still have a lot to contribute. If I let it stop me, then I'm literally not honoring myself in relation to time. And whether that time is, you know, a day, a month, a year, multiple years, doesn't matter. Time is precious. So if you just let it go and you just say one day, you know, my friend Sam Horn says one day is not a day of the week. She's absolutely right. I live my life, what am I going to learn today? And how am I going to touch somebody today? And when you live that way, the rest is not consuming. And I think that's exactly what I did. It doesn't matter if you're a homemaker, if you're an executive, ask yourself, how am I making something better for somebody else? We are, you know, so we look at things through a tunnel vision of what we think we might deserve or what we've done so far. And, you know, how many more years do I have to do anything? And we put all these limitations on ourselves. Why? Like, why would we do that when life is limitless? It is no ceiling, just guy. It's the only roadblocks that we have are those that we erect in front of us. What if you were able to let go of some of those roadblocks and say, you know what, if I tried? If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but I still tried. And Donna, if you live your life that way, yeah, that's it. Were you going to say, Elix?
No, I'm listening to you and I'm losing track of time. We do need to take a small break, a small commercial break. Hang in there, Donna. There's so much more we want to hear from you as it relates to this subject, but let's take a small commercial break and we'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen the Medium is here.
Attorney, medium, and my wonderful husband. And today we are joined by our amazing friend, Donna Carlin, who is the founder of No Ceiling, Just Sky. And we're talking about just that, No Ceiling, Just Sky. Donna, welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Donna. So let's continue the conversation. So let me ask you this. We have somebody listening and they say, well, I hear what she's saying, but I don't have the strength that she has. I don't know how I can overcome my fear. I don't know how I can go from where I am today to what I aspire to be. You know, she's different. She's got this, she's got that I don't have. Or you may have somebody that says, well, you know, she's never gone through what I've gone through and nobody understands, you know, my world. So I don't think that's possible for me. What would you tell them?
I would turn it around and say, you have something that I don't have. And you have certain experiences that I don't have that could support you through this. It's exactly what you said. If a person is thinking that, turn it right around, shine the light on yourself, and ask yourself, why in the world aren't you looking at yourself through the same lens? That's a place to start. I can't ever understand what somebody else is going through. And I don't agree with the saying, you know, walk in somebody else's shoes. Because people are complex. There is so much to them. Even though you might know a certain thing that they've gone through and have a similar experience, you are not that individual. You're not living that experience in the same way. You can walk with them. You can be an observer of their life and witness their life and say, I'm here, I'm witnessing, I'm supporting you. What do you need from me? And I think a lot of people who are going through any kind of trauma or issues need to do more of that. They need to say to those people that they could trust that are in their court, this is what I need from you. I just want you to be there, witness what I'm going through, be a support system, and give me, a 2x4 to the side of the head if I'm starting to talk myself down. And I think that that's the place to start. I would invite whoever's listening who says, I'm not her, good, because you're you, and you're unique, and they're special, and you have your own superpowers, and it's time for you to look at what those are.
When people say, you could do anything, is that true, Donna? Can you?
No, it's not. I could do a lot of things, but you could do a lot of things. We could all do a lot of things. We don't necessarily do all the things that we can do or would be able to do. I can't do everything. I don't want to be doing everything. It's exhausting to think of that. I do things that I love doing that give me pleasure, and that gives me a fulfilling life.
I've heard you say we're not just human beings. We are human becoming, always changing, shifting, adapting to new circumstances and challenges. What does that mean? What's the difference between a human being and a human becoming?
Thanks for asking that question. It's it means a lot to me because we're human beings, yes, but we're human beings becoming more and more of who we are every single day of our lives. That's what I mean. Who we are right now is not who we're going to be tomorrow, because we're going to have some kind of conversation that shapes our thinking. We're going to have some kind of experience that gives us joy or ticks us off or whatever it is. And we're going to look at ourselves through different lenses because of it. So we're always humans becoming. We're becoming more. We're becoming stronger. We're becoming more intuitive. I really believe that we are never stagnant, even if we just sit on the couch watching something. Because even then, we're forming ideas and opinions and judgments. And it's shaping how we view something else from that moment on. So, yeah, we are humans becoming.
And, when I hear you say that, it reminds me of this conversation, Stephen, that you and I have had frequently about we are energy. And energy is constant. It's constant. It's always shifting. It's always changing. And that is what you speak of.
I do. And I think, oh, I'm sorry, Alex.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I love that humans becoming, because I think for a lot of people listening to Donna, you just, sometimes people have a hard time forgiving themselves for things that they did in their past. And I just think it's a great two words to hang your hat on or to grasp, because it just means that you the next second, the next minute, the next day, you're changing. And that in my head, it just makes me feel like thinking that way makes me think less than I'm attached to all the negatives in the past.
I always wondered, why do people hold on to that which happened in the past that they don't want to forgive themselves for? Rather than do that, why not make choices that help you show up differently? It's the past is the past. Your future is created based on what you do right now. The future starts in the present. If you hold on to what happened in the past and you're beating yourself up for it, it's not what you did in the past. You're doing it right now. And what in the world is that going to do? I look at how is that going to serve you? It doesn't in any way, shape, or form. So what do you want to be? What do you want to do? What do you want to contribute? Look at it from that lens and stop looking at what you might have done that you're not going to forgive yourself for, because that's not going to get you anywhere other than stuck in the past.
I love that conversation, Donna, because you just said, I don't understand people why they live that way. And I got to tell you, from firsthand experience, for the majority of my life, I did live that way up until, you know, probably 10 years ago. And why? I don't know. I think the belief was so strong and, you know, I didn't want to challenge it. And I was attached, completely handcuffed and, you know, leg chained to those that passed, in that old belief of I'm not good enough. And even though I was very successful at what, you know, I was successful for not the right reasons and what really motivated me. But I love that you're bringing this up in this conversation, because sometimes someone just needs to, like, if this was 10 years ago when I was listening to you, I would put the volume up thinking, like, she's speaking to me. Like, this woman is speaking to me. And I love that, Donna.
I agree. And I would add this, though, Donna, is that, you know, when you said, I don't understand why people do it, I think we do it because that's what we've been conditioned to. That's what we've been taught. That's what our parents, I remember my parents telling me, you know, because what you did, this is who you are now. And you should be holding that shame for the rest of your life. You know, whether they didn't intend to hurt me, but that's what they believed, and I think that's what we condition today with those same beliefs. Unfortunately, that's what I think. We do it.
It's very timely, this conversation, for me, because that's what I'm writing about. I'm talking about it. Whose story do you want to live? There's a question for you. Do you want to live somebody else's story? Or do you want to live your own story? In which case would he have to let go of? You know, this is, it's commonsensical, but when we look at things through emotion, it's really hard to let go, because somebody's telling us we didn't measure up. Somebody's telling us that that is important in our lives, like parents, teachers, spouses, siblings. You don't measure up. You're not good enough. All these things, judgments, stories, that they attach to you, and then you own them. Why in the world do you want to own them? Who are you, and who are you right now? I was writing about a client of mine who was dreading going home for Christmas, because every time he walked through the door, they treated him like who he was in high school. Here was somebody with a doctorate doing extraordinary work, and the minute he walked through those doors, he was reverting back to the troubled teen that he was when he lived at home. And my question to him is, you know, how is that serving you? Whose story are you living the minute you walk in the door? And he said to me, you're absolutely right. I even sit in the same chair as I always sat, like when I was a kid. So he said, I'm going to sit in a different chair to see if I have a different perspective of my family. I said, look and see if you have a different perspective of yourself within the family, and start showing them who you are right now. And he did that. It was a totally different conversation. I think we need the tools to learn. You're right, Elix. We need the tools to learn how to not own somebody else's story of us. And how to literally... What were you going to say?
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to start choosing who you want to be and living it. And through action and modeling... show the world who you are right now.
Yes, and what I wanted to say is, if you're listening to this conversation, don't make this complicated. It's not. Donna just gave you two questions to ask yourself. Whose story are you living, and whose story do you want to live? Simple. Ask yourself those questions. And Donna, you know what I have to ask myself right now? We need to take a commercial break. Hang in there, and we'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my amazing co-host.
No, Stephen is here.
Stephen the Medium, my wonderful husband as well. It's here, and today we have an amazing guest, our friend Donna Carlin, who's the founder of the No Ceiling, Just Sky Institute. And we're talking today about just that, No Ceiling, Just Sky, an all approach to life at work and at home. Donna, thank you for being with us, and thank you for this amazing, amazing conversation. I'm telling you, if I could have you for a whole day, I think we could actually, we would all love listening to you for the whole day. Now, Donna, I know that you've spoken about inspiration, and you talk about inspiration helping, you know, someone unlock creativity, increases productivity, and gives people happiness. But what would you say to our listeners who may say, how do I find inspiration? How do people find inspiration, Donna?
That's a really tricky question, because everybody is inspired by different things. I'm inspired by people who get out of their own way to be all of who they are. I'm inspired by science and how much it's shifted and grown, you know, what's out there, especially for medicine and people's health. I think you need to get out of your own way to see the world through a non-judgmental lens, and ask yourself, what lights a fire in me? Not under me, which is, you know, what will motivate somebody to do something, usually with an external reward. But what lights a fire within me? Is it the arts? Is it the sciences? Is it people? Is it relationships? What is it that lights that fire? That's where you look for inspiration. Because when you're excited about something, no work is too great. You know what I mean? Like when you're doing something that you're really, really excited about, time flies. You want to be doing more of it. What if we could bring that to our lives all the time? But what excites you? That's a question I'd like to leave on the table. Like, what really lights that fire?
I love that. So, you know, and it's interesting because as I'm listening, I'm going back to if I ask myself, whose story am I living and whose story do I want to live? It immediately brings me to realizing what it is that inspires me, because that's going to lead me to the story that I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree also. It may be a difficult question to ask, but I think it's really a simple question to ask. And, you know, because you're the only one that knows you and what you do like. And as Donna just said, what lights the fire in you or the inspiration. So I always start with, you know, if this subject comes up, if I'm doing a reading or if I'm teaching, I just always come up also with, you know, starting with what would you say is your muse? Like write down what you think you connect with, like what Donna said, what brings happiness, what brings you just to smile, what makes your heart smile. And that's where they start and go from there.
Yeah. Donna, you talked about, you know, you live in curiosity, but that's also, you know, how do you do that? Like, how would somebody who says, I want to learn how to do that, I want to be better at that, what would you tell them? What would you say they should do?
You're asking tough questions today, Elix. Just for the record.
I know. But there's one person that can answer those questions. It's you. And that's, you know, our listeners want to know these answers. So let's go.
You know, it's getting to the root cause of things. Mm-hmm. Like if you're expecting that, I don't like to use the word expect. Forget I said that. So you're about to have a conversation with somebody that you've had difficult conversations with in the past. And rather than walk in with this chip on your shoulder because you're ready for the other shoe to drop, ask yourself what's really going on here with me. Mm-hmm. What am I doing that's causing me to come into this room for the conversation that's going to start it off in a negative light? Or, you know, what don't I know that I need to know? What did I just learn from this? You know, there used to be a show that we loved to watch, NCIS New Orleans, and the chief of the team would say to his team, go learn something. It wasn't, you know, get it done or fix this or go catch the bad guy. It was always go learn something. And that's how I start my day. That's my intention. What am I going to be open to learn today? Rather than, you know, go from, I have 40, almost 41 years of experience, I'm not going to, you know, learn anything new today. Absolutely not. I am going to learn something new today. I know it. And what am I going to do with it? And how am I going to share it with, if I can, if it's not in confidence, how am I going to share it with my loved ones? That's living in curiosity. It's saying, I don't know everything there is to know about anything. And I don't ever want to know everything there is to know about things. Because that means I stop learning.
Beautiful. Beautiful. By the way, I love about creating that intention. Stephen, you are a master at living in intention every day. And in fact, you coach me to create intention in everything I do every day. So it's really wonderful. And by the way, Donna, you know, the why I asked the tough questions is because, listen, at the beginning of the show, I did say you are termed as a pot stirrer, a thought shifter, you are the one, you're no nonsense. And frankly, to be honest with you, if you want to have a breakthrough in your life, I'm talking to you, listeners, you want to be speaking to somebody that's going to give it to you straight, because otherwise you're going to continue to do the things that you've been doing, the things that are comfortable. Though this conversation is not designed to be comfortable, it's designed to be uncomfortable, because when you get to that uncomfortable place, that's when wonderful things happen. So that's my take, and I'm sticking to it.
You know, I set an intent in the morning. I ask myself, what is my intention in every role of my life? And that's the first question I ask when I wake up in the morning. What's my intention as a wife, as a mother, as a dog owner, as a coach, as an advisor, whatever role that's going to be present in the day ahead, I ask myself, what is my intention? So it keeps my mind clear, keeps me present, and it keeps me focused on what it is I want to contribute. And I think when we say on intention, I knew there was a reason I liked Stephen so much. When you set an intention, and he gets you to set intentions, Elix, which is fantastic, yeah. I think that really is a way for us to be intentional for our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm telling you, Donna, every time I'm getting ready to meet a client or present or do a seminar or a program, first thing out of Stephen's mouth before I leave the house or before I start, did you set your intention? And I do.
Smart man.
I've learned. So, Donna, we've reached the top of the hour, sadly, so we don't have enough time to keep going. So that only means you're going to come back again, because I know when I ask you, you always say yes. But before we do that, Don, a couple of things. Tell us how people can connect with you. Is your book complete, or it's still in process?
My book is with the proofer, going through its final proofing. It'll be out by the end of the year. It's called Inquiring Minds Want to Grow. And wow. I'm very excited about it, because it's for the general public. It's not a technical book. It's a book of questions to live in.
Fabulous. Inquiring Minds. Give me the title again.
Inquiring Minds Want to Grow.
Want to Grow. So that's a book that all of us should have. And Donna, how can people get a hold of you?
The best way is through the No Ceiling Just Guy Institute. You could send me an email from there. I'm on every social media site. LinkedIn, I'm the most, I do the most postings on, and that's the best way for everyone to get hold of me.
So if you are not connected with Donna, you should be connected with Donna, because she will share amazing things that will help you in your everyday life. Donna, thank you for sharing your time, your attention so generously with us. We love you, and we can wait to see you and have you back again, okay?
It would be an honor. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you. And Stephen, anything else before we complete, before our producer yells at me for being late?
Oh, just check me out, Stephen the Medium, across any shelf at the supermarket, Walmart, Target, doesn't matter. Just check me out. Stephen the Medium.
Walmart, Target, can you upgrade yourself to like Nordstrom's or something
because Elix, see, where I come from, I'm applicable to everyone, so.
Mark, can you record that last part, please, for the record? Listen, and if you're not following me, please look me up at Coach Elix anywhere on all social media platforms. Thank you again, everyone, for sharing
you,
your
Mark
time
Clark.
So beautifully with us. Thank you, Mark Clark. Stay here for Mark's Jukebox starting now. And thank you, all of the staff at WARA. Take care, everyone. See you next week.
Bye-bye.